Tom came along.
Yeah, so let's talk about what come first, chicken or the egg? So Tom definitely came first.
Yes, he did.
With his eggs.
He did.
So to speak.
Hello, I'm Charlotte Ricker. You're listening to Free Reign Podcast.
So, podcast number 7, I'm recording now. It's really windy, so I might not even be able to use this, but it's a gloriously sunny day in Sussex. Oh, wow, bird of prey has just gone over my head. That is very beautiful. Don't know which one it is. I'm not a very good bird spotter. I am out on my horse with my two dogs, one of which... Oh, here comes one. Here comes Sydney. Don't know where the other one is, but he'll catch me up. There he goes, flying past. I'm hoping that this recording's okay. I've sort of seen to be in a little bit sheltered bit. I'm coming down a rather steep hill off South Downs. You can hear Pepper there, clip-clopping underneath me. So this interview is with Piggy French, the event rider. I'm sure you all know her. Now, before I start, actually, let me just say, I have to apologise slightly. In the background, you may be able to hear the distant sound of Peter Rabbit, because Piggy's son, two and a half year old son Max, was there and keeping him entertained. We had Peter Pan played on a loop, basically. So I apologise if you can hear a slight TV sound in the background. I hope it's not too distracting. So 2018, it was a good year for Piggy. She was on the gold medal winning team at the World Equestrian Games in the summer, and she finished in the season 8th in the FAO World Rankings and 4th in the British Eventing Rankings. It was really good to see her back at the top of her sport after she's had a tough few years, which she talks about very frankly in this podcast. She also talks about how she learned to love her sport again and how that ultimately led to success. And it's really interesting to hear that, and it's really inspirational, because I think we can get so caught up in winning or the pressures of performing and forget that actually the whole reason we do it is we love it, and it's very easy to forget that. So it's really great to hear her talking about that. She also talks frankly about her toy boy, Tom. Sorry, Piggy. I couldn't resist calling him that. And talking about learning to trust again in a relationship. And it was lovely to hear her affection for Tom and the respect she has for him. It's obviously a really solid relationship, and it's been quite life-changing for her, I think. One thing really made me diddle half was when she speaks about her obsession with Mary King when she was a young eventer. I loved hearing her stories about the letters they exchange. That is really something you don't want to miss. It's very funny and very sweet. And Piggy does also admit, she admits she's not comfortable talking about herself and she'd much rather be out riding the horses. But I think you can feel her visibly relaxed during the interview, and you get to know the real Piggy, who's funny, she's great company, and she's a bit of a softie at heart. So I love speaking to her, and I really hope you enjoy this podcast. Take it away, Piggy. So, Piggy, thank you for agreeing to chat to me and showing around your very, very beautiful place. So you were saying you've been here for 5 years.
Yeah, five and a half years, I think, now. But it is a wonderful setting. Set up, facilities are amazing, and we've been very happy here. The Keirs, who own the place and brought the place, had their own places next door, and they've got horses and facilities down there. And this was a farmyard. It was a used but quite an old run down farm, and so they brought it and have set it up into the most amazing equestrian facilities. And they asked if I would like to come here to rent it. Which was the end of 2012,
yeah.
Which was a bad time for me anyway. And so it was great, you know, it was a fresh start. It was, you know, a new office, new, you know, being inspired again. And, you know, if you can't train an event horse from this facility, you're never going to be able to. So, and they've been, you know, great landlords, and, you know, we've got everything we wish to have here. So, we're very lucky, and it's worked very well.
You had said, yeah, 2012 wasn't a great time, and that's obviously one thing I was going to talk to you about. Was, well, 2018 has been an amazing year. Let's start on the positive, hasn't it? 2018.
Great fun, and you know, I've got a wonderful team behind me and some lovely owners, and which, you know, all came out of, you know, when you hit rock bottom, you realise who your friends are and who your very loyal supporters are. So it's the wonderful thing is giving something back to all those people that did stick with me and kept believing, whether it's sponsors or owners or, you know, staff and everything, to have success again. It makes it all the more worthwhile.
No, absolutely. So, I mean, if we sort of... So, end of 2018, you're fourth in British eventing and eighth in the world rankings. And then Team Gold at WEG...
Yes, that was very exciting. Really very exciting and great to be part of, and ecstatic for Roz. Roz is a great friend of mine as well. And it was a funny old show, but...
It was a funny old show, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, definitely. And, you know, if it hadn't have gone as well as it did, you would have come away thinking that was a very disappointing thing to have been a part of. But... It was extremely exciting. And what
was it particularly? I mean, obviously, it was the weather. What made it sort of a bit of an odd event?
It was just very, very different. It felt quite... the facilities for the horses was absolutely fine. It was a shame to have no grass for them to graze, you know, especially event horses or ones that are used to being out, or you can walk them out a bit. It felt a little bit claustrophobic. It was so hot. There was no place really to ever work them to get them out of the sun, or not a covered arena or anything, just to have been in some shade or something. And it was extreme heat. And they were unbelievably lucky that the cross-country day actually... dropped however much in degrees as it did, because every other day we were there, apart from the rainy day, it would have been too hot to have run cross country. Totally, you know, unless they'd done it at a silly o'clock in the morning, which they weren't prepared to do. They were wanting to run it in the middle of the day for TV rights or whatever. And so it was quite a worry to think that this is what we were going to do with our horses. But as it happened, the weather was absolutely fine for cross country day. It was normal weather conditions, really. Yes, a bit warmer and a bit humid, but it was totally doable. And they could then keep the longer cross country, which is, you know, what eventing is about, the cross country test and the stamina test. And we didn't get any of the hurricane weather, and I don't think we were too stressed about that, apart from the amount of rain that they said was meant to come, which, yes, it rained all day, but it was no worse than a really bad day in England and probably just 10 degrees warmer.
Mentioned it hasn't all been plain sailing. You know, you did have that around 2012 with two horses qualified, both injured, and then the 2013 Europeans as well.
Yes.
I mean, it was pretty bad time. Can you sort of talk me through that sort of time, that period?
It was horrid. It was really horrid. And it took me a little while to get over it, to be honest, to, you know... dare to dream again, I suppose, is you think you do all you can of looking after, of managing, of taking care of your horses and running them correctly, riding them correctly, training, managing. And, you know, to have two horses go wrong for a London Olympics, it's your home Olympics. It's what you worked for the last few years. There's such a massive hype going into it. Mentally, I was... I'd been in the Olympic zone for, you know, all that year, preparing for it. Not just try to get there, but to get there to go and bring home a medal.
And is it right that the horses, so it's DHI Top and Jakara, they both were bought very much, kind of were bought by your dad with sort of the Olympics in mind?
Yes. I mean, Jakara was, we brought him... you know, is the right age, and Olympics could have been in mind. We didn't know what sort of a horse he was. He was a lovely horse, but he had a bit of history, and it was whether I could get on with him to bring him to top level and to be good enough.
Mm.
And good enough to get on a British team is very hard. You know, for some other countries, you can get qualified and get there. But it's always hard to get on a British team. So you've got to not only prove yourself once, but look consistent as well. And so that's what I didn't know with him, whether he would or not. And Topper, the same 2 years before, we were in a similar position with him. Yes, he was a very nice looking horse. He'd started 3-star, but you know, you weren't sure whether, you know, he was good enough or, you know, could be competitive enough. But both horses did come to get to the top level and come to very good form and peaked in 2011. And I was struggling which one to choose, to be honest.
It's amazing
which
to have two, isn't it?
Isn't it? But that's even more gutting because, you know, I knew both could be, you know, have such potential to go there and be a strong contender for the British team and for, you know, give the individuals a good go as well. And everything in my career had been going the right way. I'd been very spoiled, I suppose. This is always what I wanted to do, and I had a great team of horses that I really worked towards, and they were every target I wanted to try and get to. It was happening. Yes, I'd had the odd niggles here and there, and you'd missed a Babington or you missed a Burley, but, you know, you can live with that. Babington comes around next year or Burley comes around every year and things, but the London Olympics was such a life-changing experience, and it was such an experience that as any athlete for your country would love to be very much a part of and a part of going for gold. And I'd, you know, I lived... You know, I got myself pretty psyched up for it all, and was my days, my life evolved around these horses. Two of which, you know, they were both injured, both had a different sort of injury, both at competition, they were injured. And so, you know, we had to pull out, you know, the day the Olympic torch came through our village and 3 days before picking up your kit. And it was for, you know, my dad and Mike Underwood, who had supported me. They were my main supporters for the few years. And so there's a sentimental part as well. It's a very close family affair. Michael Underwood was an amazing man, and I just loved riding for him. He was a real horseman, but for someone of my point in my career to have someone that I could ride for and just had complete trust in me and was a pleasure to ride for. We never, you know, in the early days, we didn't go out and buy Olympic horses. They weren't ready-made horses. They weren't the Olympic price tags. It was something that we thought could have the ability, but we've got to work very hard to try and change them or make them be the horses that you want them to become. And that's where I was very fortunate that they did become Olympic horses, but just unfortunate that things went wrong. And, you know, a lot of negativity came from it. I had, you know, a lot of people jump on my bandwagon because in 2011 it was all going very well and everyone wants a bit of the Olympic story, glory.
You mean, sort of sponsors.
New owners and just a lot of interest everywhere and a lot of support, of which then when it doesn't happen, it's all dropped, everything goes, and you just feel one thing after the another. And even to the point that some owners left because they thought theirs was going to be next or were worried about the management and things like that, which for me was just as much of a heartache as actually not going. They do go well, they can win and look great and be whatever.
So are you slightly blaming yourself? Sounds like you're slightly blaming yourself.
Well, you look back and you just think that was just one thing, you know, he won. He was fit, he was well, he went out Barbary. It was, you know, the ground was, yes, it's Barbary ground, it's summer ground, you're always on a slight camber. And you're in the lead after show jumping. You know, it's a great class. I've never won Barbary. You've got dreams. You can't go all your life thinking I can't.
But what would you have done differently? You're saying you wouldn't have run him? And what are you saying?
No.
So you wouldn't have done anything differently, would you?
No.
So you can't blame yourself.
Yeah, maybe. And maybe, like, looking back, there was, were all the OIs that we won and were always competitive in, was that necessary to always be competitive in?
Yeah.
You know, you look when he wasn't used to it. I think, you know, there's some horses that I've had, you know, you've had from a younger age, or, you know, I remember in my old days of my first advanced horses that were not quality horses, that were not great conformation, not, nothing was particularly easy for them, but I had brought them up through novice, and I used to go flat out everywhere. You know, I'd be third last after dressage, kick out two rails, but if I went clear inside the time, I might get a 10th rosette. So let's fly about, you know, I was competitive. I never thought of ground or or anything really.
Yeah.
And they were as hard as nails.
Yeah.
And they'd got, you know, used to your systems, used to how you do
how
it.
How long had you had Tinker's time before you then
I did,
Barbara was selected? How long had you had?
I did two events with him in the autumn of 2012. He did an OI and the two-star at Osberton, and he won it. He then went home to his owners.
Yeah.
The Underwoods took them home for the first time that winter to winter them. They're a showing yard, so things are quite different.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
To be honest, like, he came back looking like a show horse. So he was,
fat.
You know, fat, which they think is amazing because it's top line and all the rest of it. But he was probably 3 stone over what he'd ever been.
Wow.
So again, then to, you know, strip them, you know, to harden them up and get the weight down. And, you know, get running. You know, he was a tough, he was a 15-3 little, hardy little pony. You know, he was a little pocket rocket, really. But, you know, you try to learn from things. You look back and you sort of think, well, that can't be that healthy. You'd never do that yourself to a horse. If you wintered a horse, you like them, yes, you like them to put on weight condition and, you know, eat as much hay and feed and look well and have a belly and something to work with. But there's just a different sort of fat that you know, different sports or things can change.
Yeah.
You know, I've got nothing, you know, not saying, but it's just a different game, isn't it? And so you look back and you think, okay, maybe a slight learning thing there. Maybe have a voice sometimes of like, no, actually, this horse is still a bit big. I don't want to start jumping him until I've got the right amount of weight. You know, you always feel that sometimes you're young, you're hungry, you've got an owner, you've got a job to do, you've got to deliver. And I suppose with age and experience and just maturity, you can stand back sometimes and say, I don't think this is right for this horse.
And do you feel like you've got more of a voice now?
Yes, I do.
You've got more confidence.
I feel, yes, totally. And I've got great people that I work with. That really helps. I've got owners that I can work with, and we have a good relationship, and we hopefully can trust each other, and, you know, talk about things, and I hope with, you know, having a bit more experience and having results too, and age and all the rest of it, then people are happy to, you know, listen more. I think when you're young and have, you know, points to prove or things to gain, or you try to gain people's respect or something, you think results are the only way really sometimes to do it. And but now, you know, you go by, I would totally go by what I think was right for the horse and discuss it with the owner.
Born.
Yeah, it was, yeah. Tom came along.
Yeah, so let's talk what come first, chicken or the egg? So Tom definitely came first.
Yes, he did.
With his eggs.
He did.
So to speak. So Tom, he was working here, is that true?
He did, yes,
and
he did.
Quite a bit younger than
you. Yeah, he is. Oh God. Which is great. I don't think you'd really know if you met us. I think he's definitely the more mature one in the relationship, really? Without doubt, yes. And I'd be more of the child. But oh, he's a wonderful person. And to be honest, he did work for me, but was very keen to get into the racing. It was at the end of 2012 when it was obviously a really bad time.
So is that when he arrived?
Yes, I think it was. And but I knew him before. He had at times had his horses at my yard. I mean, and a few years before that, we had his horses on livery, and he used to bike from school to come and ride his ponies. And of which my head lad was obsessed that he was gay, and because he'd brush his horses immaculately, and his boots were always shiny and clean, and everything was always perfect, and he was very organised, and he was very polite, and all the rest of it. But to be honest, I'd probably never spoke to him there, because the grooms always would deal with his horses, and he would just come and ride out, and even the girls would teach him. So I had nothing to do with him. But he was wanting, after university, to take time out, and he had two horses, one at three-star level, that he just wanted to compete a bit at advanced level before he went into racing, where he wanted to be an assistant trainer. Racing was his real passion. And anyway, so he came to mine, of which then in 2012 he had his horses there in the winter. We were so down on staff. The winter was terrible for weather. I had told my yard that I was at that I was moving to this yard. So we upset the place that we were at to say that we wanted to move, which was awful because we'd always had such a great relationship with them. But things got really tricky, and then they started doing a load of building to their place. So we were living in a mud bath. I would have loved someone to just come and put me in a cell for 6 months or something, so I didn't have to see a horse or deal with a person or keep having to just get through a day with a smile on your face, being polite to people. And just,
this was after the whole 2012 Olympics.
It was.
And hideaway.
Hideaway, yeah, exactly. Found it just hard to keep loving the game. You know, I'd have Tinker's Time was amazing and he was a very exciting horse, but there was always a black cloud still from London a bit. And Tom was just became my best friend. We rode out all the time. There was nothing more than that to it, apart from a complete rock of someone that was so young but understood it so much, and just someone that was just so trusting. A very mature, honest, straight character. That he's just a wonderful person, and he was my best friend. When it was time that he was going to go and was off for interviews and things, I think we both then thought that this is actually quite sad, you know.
We'd
become a bit of a team, and it was, you know, the rest then was history. But it.
So how did you? Because it's quite awkward, isn't it? Because obviously you're the boss, so it's kind of weird, tricky for you because you're the boss and he's younger, but also tricky for him because you're the boss and you're older.
Yeah.
So who sort of instigated? Who first basically sort of said, "Actually, I quite like you." How did it? You know.
Well, I thought there was nothing there at all.
Had friends or anyone said to you? Or that
a lot of people had said, "What's going on here?"
So before you'd even kind of knew.
Yes, yeah, okay. And genuinely. Nothing, you know, for it not even crossed my mind. But he was just, when work had finished, we'd really want to go down the pub and get tea or sit there and watch through the racing. You know, we were just great friends, like two peas in a pod, to be honest, without it feeling like, to me, it was, you know, ongoing territory, you know, it's not even a consideration. And then it was something that we were then going to move yards, and it was, we then left it to say, okay, when we move, we could see and start something different, because obviously he lived in the staff house.
Yeah.
And lived...
Because that's even weird, isn't it? Moving him into your home.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and it was a while of thinking, you know, I'm not gonna jump into this, because A, it's like you don't play with your staff.
No, exactly.
You know, it's a no.
Yeah.
You know, never, yeah. ever. So that is, you know, there's got to be
did you kind of have to make an announcement?
Period. Of? That this is gonna change.
Yeah.
And so it was when we moved to here that it was then like we could then see, and it was speaking to parents. First, like, I didn't want, you know, it's just trying to be as right as possible before it's like, this isn't just, you know, for A, ever future staff, you know. Don't we just, people saying, oh, yeah, go there, that's great. You know, send your, you know, no, I didn't want,
send
you know.
Send a young boy there,
exactly.
Move them in.
No. It was awful. I just couldn't, you know, so it was, it, but to be totally honest, it was, I couldn't imagine my life then without him. We were just a team. It was very professional. It wasn't like love at first sight and honeymoon period. It was always like a work thing that we just grew so together,
yeah,
and we
yeah.
were strong as a, it was a very much working relationship that then just turned into this person is now my best friend and someone that every day I want to be with you. I trust him. There was many situations before we even got together that I realised I could seriously trust this person. For me, a trust issue was a big thing in a relationship. It was a very different relationship to anything that I would have ever normally, or how you normally...
Because you
normally,
were Oliver Tanner, weren't you, for a number of years, weren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, eight years or something. Yes, young. We were at Lebanon together for a while. It was quite on off for a while.
So what period was that? How old were you then?
Oh, God, I think I was 21 to 28, 29.
Okay, so yeah.
Yes, a very different character now.
Say no more.
It's probably best not to. I don't even want to not even get into that.
And along came Max.
Yes, Max came along.
And that was a bit of a surprise, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a bit, but it was... I didn't have top horses for a while after that, and so I had horses coming back up through. I was getting older.
Aren't we all?
Yeah. And you never know whether you can or you can't.
Yeah, yeah.
It was obviously discussed that, you know, with Tom, of would yeah. you ever want children or not? And if I did, are you happy to play a part in helping?
So you took a year out, didn't you? Is that right?
I did, yes. I was full up in January, February, and I didn't realise I was pregnant. And then, you know, in true pig fashion, I was about a few months behind everything. And... So I was all entered up and everything, but I was already 4.5 to 5 months pregnant
in
March.
No,
it was 4 months, 15 weeks or something, 15 and a half weeks.
Wow.
But I'm hopeless anyway with most things. And you're busy getting ready for the season and...
That's quite nice in a way. You missed all the stress, the pre-12-week stress. It's quite nice in a way.
Yeah, exactly. And you're busy, aren't you? So... I put it off for a little while. I thought, surely not, but I wasn't sure. But then, yes. So Max came along.
Good timing, because you were kind of still in that period, weren't you, where things hadn't gone so well and you didn't have top horses. And so in a way, really good timing.
Yeah.
So were you ever in any doubt that you would come back in to the top level? Did you kind of think...
I didn't know that I would come back, to be honest. I had some lovely owners and some nice horses. Did I miss eventing? No, not at all. I loved working with some other riders that had the horses. I was always a bit worried.
Training, you mean? You were training?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, just watching, and you always learn. I think when you're eventing yourself, you're on such a hamster wheel all year. Mm. You go from back-to-back events, training, event, training, event, training, event. And I think it was very humbling, really, in some ways, because you then sit on the other side of the fence. You realise so many other people have exactly the same problems as you do, experience the same disappointments, mm-hmm. same feelings, same negativity, same disasters. You know, no, maybe not your home Olympics for 2 years, but you still then realise that, you know, the next Olympics, Tim Price drops out with Wesco. You know, there's plenty of people that suddenly drop out.
Completely.
And, you know, Willie Munnens misses the champion hurdle with Faheen. Mm. You know, just loads of things that suddenly you start noticing a lot more of that, yes, you get. But when you're in that bubble of black clouds and negativity, and you start thinking, well, do you think people rock up at Willie Mullins's and tell him he can't manage or he can't look after a horse, or Tim Price to say he can't look after a horse?
No.
Do they help?
No.
You know, they're great horsemen, they're successful people, but it's just actually just kicking yourself up the backside afterwards to say that was shit, but you know, you've got to keep moving
on.
You've got to keep believing.
Did you have any help? Do you have coaches and things, sort of the psychology side of things?
I did do a bit of it. So I went to some events and I just wanted to be ripped off the horse and taken away. It's just like my heart's not in it. I felt a little bit of an angry person at times that, you know, sometimes I felt like I rode without the love for the sport, the love for, you know, the relationship that you have with the horses, which I've always had in eventing. You get very close to them. It's a real team. You have so much trust in them. I felt like I was a bit of a dealer rider for a while. I just had horses coming in and out to make money for people.
So it became like a business rather than,
which it does have to be as well. But there is a, you know, you like that bond that you get with your horses. You love horses that you love working with and people that you do. And I think there was just some bits that I was just missing, to be honest. But
and with other riders, well, I was asking, did you get sort of, yeah, sports psychologist?
Yes.
Or
and so I did go
or
and
any
see
other kind of psych,
yeah
know.
I did go and see two or three people over a few year period. And I always found the first session great because I'd bawl my eyes out.
It's really
like
cathartic.
A complete nutter and just spill everything like I was a complete lunatic. And they would just spell a few things out sort of quite clearly that you think was a good idea. And then I'd always go back the next time and think, no, I'm better now and I'm stronger. I don't need this. So it's just sort of a good blowout every now and then. And then the last ever session I ever had was with someone that turned round to me and said, well, maybe you should just face up to never being good enough.
And wow. That's quite hard to hear, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Maybe you're just not going to be good enough to make the comeback. And I just sort of looked them in the eye and just sort of said, maybe, you know, obviously they'd come and they would try to help me.
Were they saying to make you kind of say, yeah, I'm definitely good enough? Or were they genuinely asking?
I think genuinely they've just said, you've got to accept.
Right.
You know, don't be so hard on yourself that maybe you're just not going to be good enough to get back. And so I just sort of smiled nicely and said, yes, maybe, but inside something just
did it kickstart you, do you think?
Totally. I was just like, I was angry inside. There was fire or something that was just looking in them to say, you can piss right off.
Right, screw you.
Totally. If you think that, you know, I've not loved working with horses or this sport as long as I have done and worked as hard as we all do. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not an event rider and you don't work hard. Everybody works very hard. And so get off your ass. go and enjoy the lovely horses that you've got out there. And I've got a family. I've got support. I'm a very lucky person. We've got our health. Stop moaning.
So did you feel you were slightly wallowing and feeling sorry for yourself? Or do you think it was you were completely within your rights to feel that bad?
I don't know. I don't think... I hope I wasn't going around going, poor me. But I just found it hard to be positive or trust, I suppose, for some time, a system. Until I took time out and looked around and realised that we have a great team. We really look after our horses. We really produce horses nicely. You know, there's no justice to it sometimes. You can go and watch some people see some other things and think, oh my goodness, and their horse stays sound for the rest of its days.
Completely,
or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's little, you know, just growing up, maturity, seeing other things and understanding it. It's like, okay, come on. Let's just go and... go and keep things right, you know, do believe in your system, which I really do. You never stop learning. There's never new ideas that come in, but believe in it and trust it. And, you know, go and enjoy your sport. Do right from your horses. Leave no stone unturned. Go and enjoy it. Train hard and enjoy your sport and your horses and your people. And it's amazing then how success came with it.
I interviewed you at Bramham. I'm just trying to look through my notes here. Yeah, it was at Bramham 2017. And I interviewed then, and you were saying you were enjoying it, and you know, and I could see you just gone clear, and you were buzzing, and you were kind of like, I'm enjoying it again. And it's like you'd lost that, and you got that back again.
Yes, I had lost that, definitely. And yes, a fresh start, and I enjoy it, and it's something that I keep having to work on as a rider, because it can get stressful sometimes. You can get put too much pressure on yourself. You can, you know, especially once you start having a good time and things go well, you're then expected to go well all the time, and pressure kicks in. And and so it takes some training on you mentally as well to keep real to your horse and real to yourself as a person, as a horseman, and to the people around you as well, to enjoy it and do the best job of it you can do.
Because you did go on, you came second at Burley in the same year. It was pretty amazing. I mean, knowing what you know now, what would you sort of say to yourself looking back when you had, it was a good few years, wasn't it? A period of not feeling great. What would you say to yourself, do you think, now that you know what you know now? Would you,
I think things maybe happen for a reason. You know, whatever reason that was, you know, I'd have loved to have not missed London. You know, it'll always be the biggest hole in my career. But, you know, you learn a lot and it makes you who you are. I've never regretted anything. I don't sit back and think, shit, I wish I'd never treated that horse like this or that. Nothing. I can definitely hold my head up high to say I, at the time, believed that I was doing everything I possibly could. But apart from the things that we've spoken about of, you know, changing management in an older horse later on in its life needs looking at differently to what, rather than just picking up the reins and always running. But other than that, things happen for a reason. I've been very lucky on my build up to London. I'd had a career that was doing nothing but going quietly the right way, and every real dream I had, it happened. And if that's the worst thing that can happen in my life, then I'm still a fortunate person when it comes to health you know.
And also in your achievements, you know, and also what you've achieved.
Yeah.
You know, incredible.
Totally.
So So you're obviously horsey background, horsey family.
Yeah.
Is it very much, you know, from the word go, are you riding?
Yes, always. Hunting, pony clubs, galloping around bareback.
All good grounding, though, for the eventing world.
Yes, totally. And Mum was amazing. Mum brought us all up. She rides herself.
So have you got two sisters?
Yes, Nini and Anna are twins. And they're three and a half years older than me. And so we grew up with ponies, pony club, hunting. I didn't do pony trials, didn't do junior trials. I think we did JRNs in those days. I don't know what it's called now. And I did the last year of Young Riders, which we won team gold.
Wow.
Which was cool.
So have you always been, no offence to your sisters, at a slightly higher level than them? Any reason why you're the one that's been sort of, you know, on the teams and four star and they, your sister was saying three star?
I was always obsessed with eventing from very small. Obsessed with it, to be honest. And there was nothing else that I wanted to do. Nothing else I probably could do, to be honest. School was a disaster.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And
didn't I read somewhere that you were going to go to college of, like, art or something?
Yeah, art. I could draw a picture. That was about as useful as I got at school.
But you weren't serious about doing art, or were you?
No. Photography, I thought I might try to get into, because I've got plenty of scrapbooks even now of eventing days, because I was that much of a geek.
Well, you'd go out and take photos, you mean?
Photos of everyone and write stories of the event and how everyone rode and what the horses were.
Reporter?
No, I don't think I could, because my English was never that good either, but to me it made sense. But I was a serious Mary King fan.
Well, and how amazing, and obviously Mark Todd, that you... Did you have a kind of a real moment of, like, you're out of competition in the same competition as them? Have you had those moments like, oh my God, it's Mary King?
Totally. I still do now.
Do you? That's
because
so
I wrote to Mary every year, twice, if not three times, for her birthday and her Christmas. I could still tell you when her birthday is now.
Happy birthday.
I've got all my letters still now.
That's so sweet.
I'll show you before you go. Kept them all. I used to draw her pictures. Take pictures of her, send them to her. Mum would only let me write.
How come you got the letters? Because did she send them back to you?
She wrote back to me.
Oh, the letters she wrote to you?
Yeah.
How amazing.
She always wrote back to me.
She's lovely, Mary, isn't she?
Yeah, she was amazing.
Wow.
But my mum only let me write twice a year for her birthday and Christmas. And I could send her a card when she won badminton or won whatever Mary always won.
And she did reply.
And she always replied.
That's amazing.
And I've kept the replies, and they're brilliant. But it's very embarrassing, because it always says, thank you, dear Piggy, thank you very much for the lovely talcum powder you sent me. Or thank you very much for the lovely apricot face cream. Or this lovely pen that I'm using to write this letter. Or another poster that you sent me of drawing of Star Appeal or King William.
That's so sweet.
Oh my God, I was a lunatic, an absolute lunatic.
So do you still feel a little bit starstruck now? Have you got over it?
Well, she's just lovely.
She's
Mary.
Very lovely.
She is lovely. And but I think, you know, growing up with all the King Williams, Boris, King, you know, what a stable. And Mary she always smiled, didn't she?
Yeah, yeah.
King William would have six fences down. She'd smile coming out the ring. You'd think, oh, isn't Mary nice? Or surely you want to just clonk it one
off. back to the stables and broke down.
She's always, you know, she loved her sport. She worked very hard at it, Mary. You know, her story, she wasn't born into it, and she had to graft to get up there. And my mum evented, so I'd go to the events and would always follow Mary round, and she always was very friendly, and I'd walk the course. But there came a time, obviously, when I thought I was probably too old for this, which might have been about probably 14 years old. And 15 maybe, I don't know, where I probably started eventing and probably thought I wasn't really very cool. I kept all my letters. I'm very proud of them too.
That's really sweet.
And she would always trot past me at events and go, "Hello, Piggy, how are you?" And I was always so embarrassed and shy of her. And actually, the first time I really spoke to her was on the plane going to Kentucky for the World Games in 2010, where I went as an individual and she was on the team.
Wow.
Ironically, the first time I got on a British team was 2009, when Mary's horse went lame just before
you
it.
You took her place.
So I took her
wow.
place.
Wow.
And so they sent me her kit to wear for the new kit to wear. And I didn't have the boobs that Mary had, sadly, so it hang off me. Oh, God, I was like, oh, Mary's...
You literally couldn't fill her boobs.
I couldn't fill her boobs. So I had to have a dress...
Mind filling her boots.
her jacket change. But, yeah, ironically, it was Mary's gear that I got wow. sent to go... to what? Thing because her horse went lame, and then I went there and won individual silver as my first go, which was
pretty
very
amazing.
Exciting. And then the next year went to Kentucky, so was on a plane and sat next to Mary and was embarrassed and shy, but she's still amazing. And then I finished second at badminton in 2011 and Mary was third at badminton in 2011. So in the final press conference, Mary got asked the first question and she said, "Before I answer it, I just want to tell everyone that Piggy used to write to me."
Were you kind of going?
Yeah. I was downing this glass of champagne that we'd been given pretty swiftly and felt really quite embarrassed.
Here we are. But you've got some horses stepping up.
Yes.
Some names we should look out for.
Brookfield Innocent is a new horse that I had last year I did a 3-star on. And I think he could be a very exciting horse. Calling Card, Jane McGiven, who's been a great supporter of mine over the last few years, known as Quarry Crest Echo, has just brought a horse called Calling Card off Aoife Clark.
Okay, yeah.
Who's at 2-star level, but he's now a 9-year-old horse, and a lovely horse as well. So he'll be very exciting to... I'm very interested to get competing him, really, to how he goes. Jennifer Saunders has a horse called Cooley Monsoon, who has won a lot at 2-star level, but he'll be stepping up now to 3-star level.
What's it like working with her?
Yeah, she's amazing. She's... a lovely person. She loves the sport. She's a real enthusiast.
So is eventing her, because she does inter show jumping as well, doesn't she? Is eventing her sport of choice, or does she?
It was her sport of choice. Yes, she did a program. That's how I met her a few years ago in 2012.
Right.
Getting back in the saddle, and she chose me to give her a cross country lesson.
Oh, fantastic.
She was going to try to compete at Babington Grassroots.
I must have seen that. God, I must have seen that programme. I must have seen it. I'm going to have to go and Google it now and watch it again. But yeah,
she was great. And on this programme, she also went over to Ireland to Richard Sheen's place, who's the Cooley Sheen.
Because you've got quite a few Cooley horses, haven't you?
Yes. The Cooley Farm sports horses.
Yeah.
And he's been a phenomenal guy to work with. He sends, you know, he always lets us know if he thinks a horse would suit me. And Jennifer went to see him for this programme and they drove around to see how Richard Sheen works and his operation is.
Mm.
And after the whole programme, she decided she wanted to buy a horse from Richard Sheen and send it to me to go eventing.
Amazing.
Wow. Which was amazing, but it actually took a few horses to properly get to the table of either lameness or not event horses, or
yeah,
they grew
yeah.
too big. Or
So which Cooley is this one now?
He's Cooley Monsoon.
Right.
And he's Eddie in his stable, because that's her character in...
Fantastic, I love
yeah.
that.
And, oh, she loves it. We've had so much fun. She's won a lot of red rosettes and a lot of trophies, actually. He's won all his CCI events that he's done. And he's a lovely character. Like, she could come and ride him if she wants to. She's dodged that so far. But I think next summer I will get her to do it. At the minute, they're all a bit jumpy when the birds fly out and things. Yeah. So but in the summer, he's a bit of a slug. So
he's a bit, he's been worn out a bit.
Yeah, exactly. And he loves the sunshine and he goes a bit steady. So hopefully I'll get her on him to come and have a ride, because she would. He's such a gentleman and such a lovely, lovely horse. He would lack a bit of the blood, blood in his breeding to know how far he'll go.
Yeah.
But he's a very genuine sort. And so we just are going to take each step as it comes.
Fantastic. Exciting.
Yeah, really exciting.
And quite exciting to have a celebrity owner as well, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. she's great. I think she kind of jokes though most of the time, because I don't have a clue what she does or where she does it, really. I had to Google her half the time to see what she's been up to. And I think
I grew up with her. I was a massive French and Saunders fan.
Yeah.
I really was. So I would be definitely quite starstruck. Yeah, I've seen her at events and things.
But I'm hoping she probably quite likes that fact.
Definitely.
Rather than
exactly. Someone fawning over her. No, definitely.
Maybe. I don't know. But no, she's a lovely lady. It's wonderful having someone like that involved in the sport. And he really enjoys it. I think when she comes to watching a horse, has been a great success.
Lovely. Fantastic. Well, as I said, wish you all the best of luck. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, that's all for this episode of Free Rein Podcast with me, Charlotte Ricker. I really hope you enjoyed listening. And if you did, please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. Until next time, happy riding.